scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Before I actually read it, I have a disclaimer to make. You've seen these, you know, in front of videos and that kind of thing. The statements and opinions of Pastor Jared do not always reflect the opinions of his senior pastor. I'm not sure I've ever heard that word used in traditional worship. Appropriate as though it might be, always breaking new ground. My kind of guy. There you go. There you go. You see, that word is worse in their minds than the word you use. The scripture this morning does come from the Gospel of Luke. And we've been talking this series during Lent, simply Jesus, and looking at how Jesus interacted with people on his way to Jerusalem, once he set his face to Jerusalem, as Jared began our conversations this week. And today we find him here engaging two other people and seeing the way he impacts their lives. So listen to the stories of a blind man and a tax collector. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was going on. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He replied, "Lord, I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Moving into 19, same story, same day. Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was short, and so he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." I want to make another disclaimer this morning, not about Pastor Jared, but in the title of the message that's, you know, a blind man in the IRS, I am in no way making any kind of statement about the IRS. I don't mean to defame or denigrate the agency or its agents or even the state of taxation in our country today. The title just seemed to fit for me. In fact, a better rendering of the title would have been "A Blind Man, the IRS, : A Day in the Life of Jesus." For we find this is a story about Jesus as he engages these two men. We know that the blind beggar's name was Bartimaeus because the Gospel of Mark, who tells the same story, gives us his name. So as we look at this, it's a study in contrasts and commonalities between these two very different men. There were clearly contrasts. Bartimaeus was wretchedly poor. He was blind and reduced to begging because he could not earn a living in his community. His life consisted of shuffling his way through town, past the city gates, finding his usual spot by the side of the road, laying down a blanket and staying the whole day there, sitting, begging for spare change from those who passed either in or out of town. We find that Zacchaeus was very different in that he was wealthy, had all the perks attached to it, except he didn't have respect for friends. Because like many tax collectors of his day, he fleeced people for his own gain. You see, the government of Rome, as Rome had come and was occupying Israel, had taken it over as one of its vassal states, if you will, they had then determined to tax all of the people in Israel. And they would do it in local regions, and there would be individuals, citizens of Israel, who would vie for contracts with Rome to be those who would collect taxes for their government. And when they won that contract, and they would then be required to go and to take from the people a certain percentage for taxes, and they could then make their money by adding percentages on top of that. If Rome got the amount that it expected to get, they didn't care if you squeezed some more off the top. Rome was happy. The tax collectors were happy. The people of Israel, not so much. And so Zacchaeus had no friends and no respect, as they despised him for his collaboration with Rome and profiting on their burden. But there were also commonalities, too, between these two men. They were both, in a way, blind. I mean, Bartimaeus, obviously, blinded physically to the world around him. Zacchaeus was blinded by his greed and ambition. He couldn't see people as anything more than objects to be used for his own gain. And both wanted something more. Bartimaeus wanted to see and to be set free from the shame he felt in having to beg for sustenance. Zacchaeus wanted to fill an emptiness that his money couldn't touch. So let's flesh out the story a little bit as we begin to look at it more carefully. Jesus is walking to Jericho and very likely walking through and beyond, but as he's coming to town, there's always this kind of pre-wave, you know, of people before any event happens. And Bartimaeus, taking his spot every day in the same place, would hear snippets of all kinds of conversations as people passed by, and he was hearing more and more about this exciting young rabbi who was coming to teach and preach. He'd heard rumors that he could heal the sick and restore sight to the blind. And he wondered, maybe he would do that for me. On this day, he would have heard that most specifically, and he could feel the anticipation building all around him. He sat very intently listening to everything on the road. If only he could make Jesus see him, then Jesus could help him see. Now, end of the scene, Jesus is walking now into town. By the city gates, Bartimaeus is there as he hears the commotion of the crowd and knows there's a parade coming, at least a parade of sorts, and he knows Jesus is passing by, so it's now or never. And he shouts out with all he can muster, screwing his courage up, and he shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in the crowd with Jesus, at least some of them, heard him and they shouted him down. "Who do you think you are? You ain't got time to mess with the likes of you. He's much too important for that. Be quiet. Sit down and shut up." But he shouted all the louder. Now, side note here. Why is it that these people in the crowd were trying to push Bartimaeus down? Do you think Jesus had given them orders to protect him, to run interference for him? That doesn't show up anywhere in Jesus' interactions with people. So it wasn't their assignment to run interference for Jesus. Why would they do that? Why would they care if a beggar got Jesus' attention? Was it his impertinence to think that he could forget his place and try to interact like normal people, valuable people, healthy people? Or maybe it was because they had this sense of self-importance because they were with Jesus in the crowd. They didn't want to share that reflected spotlight with anybody else, let alone a beggar. Well, no matter what their motives were, Jesus heard Bartimaeus call out, and he stopped and he called them to bring him to him. Bartimaeus stumbles his way blindly through the crowd and finds himself there in the center, all alone, just him and Jesus. He can tell because he can hear how the crowd has moved and the silence, people waiting to see what's going to happen. And Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus responds, "This is his moment. I want to see. Lord, I want to see. More than anything else in the world, I want to see." I mean, he's going to do this, he's going to go broke. He wasn't going to ask for, "Oh God, give me a red-tipped cane to help me in my blindness. God, I've always wanted one of those guide animals to help me cope." No, I want to see. And Jesus said basically, "Well, then see. Your faith has healed you." And with that, his eyes opened and he could see everything clearly. He left behind him on the side of the road his blanket and his coins, and he joined the parade praising Jesus. Now we look further down the road as we find Jesus going into town, passing through the gates. And the streets of Jericho were lined on both sides as this traveling rabbi was coming through, and folks were watching to get a chance to see him for themselves and maybe see him do something special. And among that crowd, there was this big man of small stature, Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus too, but he couldn't because the crowd was just wall to wall, if you will, shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, and he couldn't work his way through the crowd. And this was their chance, even though he was the tax collector. They could do this almost by accident, you know, keeping him out. And knowing he couldn't get through, then he ran down the street before the crowd had assembled there, and he'd climbed up a tree. Knowing Jesus was coming that way, he'd be able to see over the crowd to get a glimpse of Jesus. As he comes down, Jesus sees Zacchaeus in the tree and calls him by name. He'd never met him before, but calls him by name. "Zacchaeus, come down from there right now. I want to go to your house today. I've come to see you." Zacchaeus scrambles down as fast as he can, open and welcomes Jesus with open arms. And once again, we find that as he does that, there are people in the crowd who butt in because of their sense of offense, their disgruntlement born out of their own sense of self-importance. "He's gone to eat with a sinner." And I can almost hear the way they say "sinner" and want to spit behind it, you know? Zacchaeus' life-changing event, experience that day with Jesus. And he confesses to him his greed and his racketeering practices. He makes restitution. "Today I give half of all I own to the poor. And to anyone I have cheated, I will repay four times the amount." And Jesus responds, "Today salvation has come to this house. For this man whom you have despised and rejected, this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," a Messiah title, "came to seek and save the lost." Two very different men of different stations in life. yet both miserable as a result of their own different kinds of blindness, both found healing because Jesus called them out of the crowd. Now, we aren't told in this story, but if we'd have been there that day watching Jesus and Zacchaeus, I'm sure we could have scanned the crowd and found a man who was dirt-caked and dusty, wearing the rags of a beggar whose name was Bartimaeus, just jumping for joy and saying, "Yeah, do it again, Jesus, do it again." So what's all that mean for us? What's our takeaway here this morning? Well, there are several ways we could go with this. We could talk about what's wrong with people and having to push others down. That'd be an interesting conversation, but maybe painfully revealing. But I believe our takeaway this morning is this. There are some people all around us, even today, people with whom we work or play or associate, who've been pushed to the dust of the curb or lost in the crowd. Even people with perks of comfortable lives who settled for the sidelines and the scraps that come their way. Some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, at times wanted to hide in that same crowd as well. There are people around us who, in their blindness, or maybe I should say our blindness, because I believe we fail to see the truth as well. We've lost sight of it at times. Those people want to see. More than anything else, they want to see. But it takes courage to reach out for help. I mean, Bartimaeus wasn't the only beggar on the road that day. Understand, that was a practice in that culture. People were to give hospitality and generosity to those in need, and so they would line up there every day on both sides of the road and be asking for help, and they were given little bits along the way because that was part of their religious practice to do so. Bartimaeus wasn't alone up there. There were others who took their usual spots too every single day. But the others on the road, like some of us, simply didn't risk calling out when Jesus came by. Some because they'd lost hope. Some because they'd been conditioned, doing it long enough, they'd become accustomed to their place by the side of the road, accustomed to the lives as they were. And some today, we have as well. Some because they hadn't heard or believed the reports that Jesus could change their lives, and that happens among us too. We know the stories, but it hasn't impacted us to reach inside to get past all the defenses and say, maybe I can make him see me so he could heal me. Some today who are blind because they're afraid of the backlash like Bartimaeus experienced. The backlash, who do you think you are? You don't deserve this. You're unworthy. Some of us know that feeling too. So how does it happen? How do we see? Well, we risk standing out in the crowd. We risk reaching out. We risk calling out, hoping he will see us. Not even aware that already he's searching for us, we seek him and shout his name. We climb a tree until he calls to us. What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. Lord, I want to see. I don't know, as you live your lives, what you work to hide from the world around you. even from those you love most. But I suspect that some of you have some of those things you hide away. I know I have in my life. Blind spots that keep me from seeing and of which I need to be healed. And nothing I've tried to do on my own, and I've tried it on my own, and I think maybe you have too. Nothing has worked. I still can't see, or I can't see clearly, or things get in my way, and I haven't found a tree to climb. I do my best to find my way with sightless, scrabbling hands to make sure I don't run into the obstacles I can't see. Maybe for you it's a struggle with negative self-image or low self-esteem. And you agree with the words, I don't deserve the success I have. If they really found out I don't know what I'm doing, they'd laugh me out of the room. That kind of anxiety drives so many people in today's world. Maybe it's some long-held guilt or shame you've never been able to get free of. Something you did or was done to you in the past. Or maybe it's some past failure that's colored your life. It keeps you from seeing the truth around you. If you have blind spots too, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus comes into our lives with the power to heal and restore us from our blindness. And I'm here to tell you that as we've put so much energy into finding ways either to do it ourselves or to hide it, He has the power to do it entirely differently. And He's not only going to ask you if you want a white, red-tipped cane. What do you want Him to do for you? We get accustomed to knowing our way around. We get accustomed to figuring out how to make it work with our blindness. Well, He says, what can I do for you? We can ask Him to help us see and set us free.